Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Former Walt Disney chief executive Michael Eisner will take his post House of Mouse TV adventure to another level this summer, talking up the new smart TV distributed destination, Stroom. We'll take a tour with Chief Executive Officer Lauren DeVillier and Business Officer Paul Pastor when they join me next in an internet radio exclusive. 4 orphans connect to save the planet through the mysterious Benedict Society, starting next week on Disney+. We'll rendezvous with co-creators and executive producers Matt Manfredi and Phil Hay later this hour from Los Angeles. Also ahead, more Roku originals on the way, Mindy Kaling's next Netflix series, our classic trivia question, and our latest takeaway of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details about that and a Prime Day offer coming your way next week if you subscribe later in the program. And on this Friday afternoon, we welcome you to the program all about TV's current and future. 83 degrees at the top of the hour. Delighted to have you with us. We have not one but two dynamic duos coming your way from Los Angeles over the next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. Interact with our guests by just picking up the phone and dialing in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Shy about the phone, no problem. Use our chat room. It's ready for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Hit the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions until we live with you. Our first dynamic duo from Stroom joins us from Los Angeles after these news notes. Count on more, possibly many more, Roku original series in the months ahead. That declaration came this morning from Roku Chief Executive Anthony Wood, speaking here in New York at the Tribeca Film Festival. Quote, as the scale grows, it just makes sense for us to do some originals and to start making some of our own content, Wood said. Also, we are looking for shows that work well with the advertising on demand business model. Roku, using its catalog of short-form series acquired from Quibi, or Quibi, launched its originals venture last month on the Roku channel. Die Hard, the Quibi series starring Kevin Hart, was renewed for a second season as a Roku original earlier this month. Wood's company also exploring further interactive TV projects following deployment of Food Network Kitchen early May. People who watch TV the majority of time on Roku and similar smart gadgets of 2030, Wood predicted. Another quote from him, it is an awesome opportunity to innovate and improve television, unquote. And again, that was from earlier today at the Tribeca Film Festival here in NYC. Mindy Kaling's dance card, a scripted TV series developer, continues to expand. Kaling and writer-producer Elaine Coe reunite with Warner Brothers Television on a new Netflix series set in the front office of the Los Angeles Lakers. What's more, this workplace comedy will have input from Lakers president Jeannie Buss and executive director Linda Rambis. Season 2 of Netflix's Never Have I Ever, co-created and overseen by Kaling, and premiered to great reviews last year, premieres July 15th. Two quickies for you before our first guest. Season 2 of Serengeti will start simulcasting on Discovery Channel and Discovery Plus July 18th. And former Chicago Fire co-star Annie Alonze will star in Getaway, a pilot for a proposed NBC mid-season drama taking place at an island resort. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles, the Chief Executive Officer of Stroom, which is backed by none other than former Walt Disney Chairman Michael Eisner and his company, Toronto, Lauren DeVillier. Lauren, welcome in.
Thank you. It's so wonderful to be here. Thank you, Simon.
It is a pleasure. And joining both of us, your company's Chief Business Officer, Paul Pastor. Hi, Paul.
Hello. Great to be here, Simon.
And Lauren, we'll start with you. What is Stroom? And let's, by the way, I got an education before we went on the air. It is not Strum, folks. It is Stroom. What is Stroom all about?
Yes, thank you. So Stroom is an aggregated platform of content. We are an aggregated service that allows consumers to seamlessly discover and consume content from multiple SVOD providers using a credit-based exchange system. That is it in a nutshell.
And we're going to talk more about this credit-based system in a second. But first, Paul, how long has this been in play for, and how did Michael Eisner get involved with this, with his Toronto company?
Yeah, so we started working this idea at the end of 2019, and we all really came together in February of 2020. We started pitching the idea to both advisory board, as we were shopping for an advisory board, as well as content partners and investment partners in April 2020. We pitched the Tornante company. We pitched Michael and Andy soon after, you know, I would say in about May, June timeframe. They instantly got it, and they became our lead investor in that summer. And they've been incredible partners to us, you know, beyond just the investment of the money, but also just in the partnership, the strategic partnership that they've provided.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we started,
that?
And then we just have been off to the races ever since, closing deals, and we have a phenomenal advisory board and product, which is live.
Yeah, and we can't underemphasize the contributions of our advisory board with having some people like Nancy Tellum, you know, former president of CBS, having Ben Pine, who ran distribution for the Walt Disney Company, having Donald Hicks, who lead trust and policy for Airbnb. It's those disciplines of both marketing, creative, distribution, operations, and technology that have really allowed us to accelerate where we're at. And I think when Michael saw this team, an incredible team with a lot of experience in direct-to-consumer, coupled with an advisory board that showcased the expertise we were looking to bring into the organization and the credibility that they could stand behind it, was really the accelerant into some many of the conversations we were having on the financing side.
Paul, so far you have encouraged more than 50 smart TV distributed television services, whether it's by smart TV sets, smart TV devices like Roku or Chromecast, which you're currently on in this trial, and others, to utilize this platform. What is the business case you are making to them for utilizing this platform?
Certainly. There's almost so many reasons to articulate, but let me kind of get to the primary ones. The first piece, right, is the very today, we believe that most providers should have a very large front porch with multiple front doors. And we are one of those front doors where we can help them reach new subscribers, maybe those that have more ad avoidance behaviors as their SVOD-driven services. And fundamentally, you know, through the engagement with near adjacent content, be able to surface their brands and their content alongside. This is something, you know, I was part of the original Hulu team back in 2009, and when ABC joined Hulu and put our content in that environment, while the ABC business continued to grow, the accelerant was on the Hulu side of the business because we had so many more opportunities to put our content in front of others. And so you can reach those secondary, tertiary audiences that may or may not be aware of your content or your brand, and offer them the opportunity to you know, especially given our model of the credit side, to seamlessly discover and consume without having to have an underlying subscription. But I also think what we're continuing to find right now is that the value proposition also continues to be around the fact that we can help drive some of the distribution opportunities. There's a reality that telcos and OEMs and others can only find, can only service so many services. And what we can do is bring, you know, there are nearly 300 services available here in the U.S. We can serve as that point of integration and help provide the distribution for those platforms to fundamentally reach those audiences that are trying to drive in a subscription through this aggregation play.
We are discussing Stroom. It is the brand new smart TV programming platform that is now in a trial run on Chromecast, and then hopefully will be launching to the general public later this year on all sorts of smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We're talking to the two key executives behind the venture, which is backed by former Walt Disney head executive Michael Eisner through his Toronto company, and that's Lauren DeVillier. She's the chief executive officer, Paul Pastor, the chief business officer. They're both with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, and we're happy you are with us too. Simon Appbaum with you live from the other side of the US of A. That's Nueva York, where it's 83 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for both of our folks, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Next week on ABC, there's a new Wild Kingdom series that's really wild. It's called Where Nature Calls, and it's hosted by the award-winning actress Helen Mirren. We will have the executive producer and showrunner of that program, K.P. Anderson, joining us as our lead guest. And we hope in the second half hour to have one of the TV pilots that was showcased here at the Tribeca Film Festival the last week or so. It's a program called In the Cards. It has two of the former stars of Twin Peaks, and it has a very unusual premise. We hope to have the creator and the star, who may be one and the same, joining us in the second half hour. We'll let you know over the weekend. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Lauren, who are some of the smart TV services that are in line with your service, and how are you doing specifically trying to get multicultural services, other types of genre services aboard?
Yeah, well, I'll let Paul talk about who our content partners are, but we, you know, we are actually in market today, so we are on iOS and AirPlay and Chromecast and web, and we will be launching to OTT as well as Android in the coming months. We are rolling out services, you know, every single day. We are ingesting our content partners' content into the service every day. Right now we have almost 30 services for consumers to enjoy, from passion vertical, from true crime to comedy to food. We have an unbelievable library of documentary movies as well as other movies for movie buffs that are all in the service, and we continue to onboard new content to really drive in those verticals that that consumers are looking for in the sort of passion space of lifestyle and others. So with that, I'm going to just let Paul talk a little bit about what we have on the service, some of the content providers, as well as what we will be onboarding in the future.
Yeah, Simon, it's crazy to think. When Lauren and I started pitching this service, right, we thought about, let's just get 5 services on the platform and showcase how the business model could work, and we'll go from there. And here we are today at 60 services that are contracted on the platform. What you see in our beta product today is about 6,000 of those assets have been loaded across about 30 brands. We will meet full parity with those brands and have nearly 42,000 assets on the platform with those, across those 60 brands by the time we get to August. We're also in the process of adding brands every day. But what do your viewers care about? Like, what are the things that you should get on there and watch? So right now, we have some really great content. You've asked about the, you know, diverse audiences. One of the rails that we're promoting this is obviously around Juneteenth and African-American-driven content. You can see shows coming from Docurana and Magellan and D-Jazz and History Hit and now this. If we think about the LGBTQ and being Pride Month, right, we're able to hit that with our partner Deco, with also other content coming from the likes of Real Stories and otherwise. And we're in the process. We've signed deals with Out TV, FBTV, and a number of others. So there's a lot of content there out to explore. But certainly if you love movies, we're deep in that category with Magellan, with Tribeca. I highly encourage your viewers to go and play with the service, give us feedback on the service. If there are services they want us to target, we're every day out there chasing for more deals.
Paul, I understand that Cinedigm, the multi-channel bundle we have covered on this program, is also involved. Are they involved with one specific service that they've got, or is this a deal where you can pick and choose programming from all of their, not only their current channels, but also channels that they'll be launching down the road?
Yeah, Erica Peka is a friend and partner to us with the Cinedigm Group. We are ever grateful for what the business they're building and for being a partner with us. We actually have a number of their services currently on the platform today, like So Real, also sitting there with Real Families. We also have the Dove channel on there. So there's any number of different brands that we are bringing on the platform. Eric has been generous to say, as I build my business, I want to be a partner with you and bring more brands on the platform at the same time. So it's continually, it's a great relationship. As he builds his business, we continue to build ours as well. And you'll see most of the brands that he represents on the platform.
before we get to this whole credit system and how that plays in with how people will use the service and pay for it, are you also, because this service has been in the public eye for since the press release was issued about a month ago, have you also heard from individual content creators, whether scripted or unscripted, saying to you, I'd like to use Stroom as an opportunity to showcase my work?
Yeah, we're certainly looking at the opportunity to expand the business model, right? For the most part right now, we're very focused on those that are current providers and how to actually begin aggregating some of those services. But over time, we've also begun working with film libraries that, for example, with Film Hub that is created with us, the Alice brand that sits across our service. So we're working with those players that don't necessarily aren't looking to invest in an architecture and a technology stack, as well as manage all of the SAC costs, et cetera, with those businesses to build out, you know, services for them and leverage some of the libraries that sit within. Whether or not we become like a platform for self-publishing, that's the question we haven't yet begun to address, but we don't definitely think there's an expansiveness in the overall publishing capabilities that we can offer to partners.
Mm-hmm. Lauren, Stroom is the second service we have covered on this program this week that has a very unusual way of involving viewers. On Wednesday, we led off our special edition with a project called SATOR, S-A-T-O-R. And the whole idea is, I called it at the time, Frequent Flyer Television, where it's a platform where the more programming you watch and the more you interact with the programming that you see in all sorts of ways, the more rewards you earn. In your case, you're doing what they call a credit system with mm-hmm. your service. Explain, and it also comes with the fact that there's a monthly charge, I guess it is, for using Stroom. Explain how the credit system and the overall way that people use the service works.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this credit model is new to the SVOD industry. It's not new to the industry, right? If you think about like Audible or ClassPass, the model exists where consumers pay for credits and then use those credits to consume either classes or books or something like that. So, you know, for us, those are models that really resonated for me personally, that ability to, if you take something like, you know, the ClassPass model, that ability to be able to buy credits and to dip in and dip out of different classes that you might want to take without actually, you know, initially signing up for a membership. So what it really allows is for that search and discovery of classes. And so with that model with Stroom, it's a similar thing. When you look at the research, consumers really kind of skim across the top of a lot of these SVOD services, and they go in for specific shows. They maybe might discover some other stuff, but they really don't use the full breadth of the library that sits underneath that subscription. And so our hypothesis is that we are capturing, there's almost 300 services within the U.S. alone that people are looking for new and fresh content. And so our thought is that people will go in, they will dip in and dip out, and be able to skim across the top of those services, and then by using those credits. And then if we see, let's say, Simon, you are a huge fan of Tastemade, we can see that you are consuming, using your credits, a lot of that Tastemade content. And then we will say to you, Simon, we see that you are looking at a lot of Tastemade content, so you are more interested in Tastemade than just skimming across the top of the service. And we're going to offer you a subscription. And this is all within the Stroom platform. So now, Simon, you can continue to search and discover all the great content that we continue to add on to Stroom. And then we will provide you with a subscription service into Tastemade. And so now you'll have both of those services open to you. So for us, it is a standard subscription video on demand, you know, monthly subscription where you are allotted 100 credits to really dive into all of these different services to consume the content. So, you know, again, in looking at the research that we see with consumers, they are looking for that one subscription, that one credit card, that one touch point to be able to access all of these different services. And the last thing that I will say to that is, you know, there's a value to it. What we are offering a consumer is that access and that discovery across all of these services that if, let's say, you had, you know, 20 of those services, it could cost you up to $200. And what we're saying is just watch what you want to watch for this $4.99. If you want to add credits, we can add credits. If you want to subscribe, we can drive you right into that subscription.
Mm-hmm. So two questions off that. One, what is the monthly subscription price? Two, as you accumulate the credits and you decide to redeem them, let's say you redeem them with Tastemade. By the way, Tastemade has been in our program before, just to let you know. Could you get more than just the Tastemade service? Let's say if you redeem X amount of credits, you not only get the service, Tastemade service, but you may get, like, kitchen utensils or free cooking lessons or a night at a local restaurant.
Well, Simon, we love that you. We should partner with you and figure out, do some more brainstorming on some of the benefits of the platform.
Yeah.
But we're not that far yet. But we're currently at $4.99 for 100 credits. It's a 50 credit package plus a 50 credit bonus while we ramp up the content offering on the platform. We most certainly want to make sure we're continuing to add value for our subscribers. There's any number of feature sets that we're looking to develop and deliver that will continue to add value into the ecosystem. But we should also be clear, like, we love Tastemade, for example, and, like, Tastemade's probably always going to best serve their core consumer. And what we're hoping to do is, through the aggregation play, is be able to showcase that content in an aggregation environment, hit those people that like the food and lifestyle content, showcase it around other core partners, because we could potentially even offer, let's say, a food bundle around a Gusto and a Tastemade, and really begin to dive deep into the category. So those are some of the opportunities that sit on the platform today. And then just one thing to note, I think I misspoke earlier when you asked me about Cynodyme. I said Real Families, which is obviously a little dot property. Within Cynodyme, we have Dove TV, Con TV, DocuRum, and So Real. So I apologize for misattributing when I was speaking.
No problem. Apology accepted. Lauren DeGioia and Paul Pastor are with us this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. They are chief executive and chief business officer, respectively, of the new venture, Stroom, which also involves former Walt Disney head Michael Eisner and his Toronto company. If you have a question or comment for our guests in the remaining minutes with us, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. But anyway, I should point out that many of the programming services that are using Stroom have been on our show, like Tastemade, Gusto TV, Magellan TV, and more recently, Wonderium, which formerly was known as Great Courses, or we'll incorporate Great Courses with other programming. Next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll introduce you to a brand-new project just announced called Pilot Accelerator. It's from an organization that's been around for several years now called the Women's Weekend Film Challenge. The whole idea, 6 to 8 TV pilot makers are going to get the opportunity to pitch their products to the likes of HBO and Netflix. And there may be more TV from this organization as well. We'll talk to the co-founders of Women's Weekend Film Challenge, Katrina Medoff and Tracy Sayer. That's exclusively with us next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Lauren, what are you learning from the trial run so far, and how is that going to influence the launch?
Well, what we are learning is that consumers get it, right? We see that our viewers get it. They understand the model. It's something that is clear. I mean, it's clear as when Paul and I pitch it to potential investors, to content partners, that a customer absolutely gets the model, and they are enjoying it, and they're having fun with it, and they are searching and discovering content that they didn't know existed. And that is what we are seeing, you know, as we are beginning to kick off our marketing. You know, we are in brand awareness mode right now, and we're doing a lot of fun things with our marketing, and it's really resonating with our audience. So that's what we're learning, you know, as we kick off to our launch, where we will have, you know, over 60 content providers, and we will also be including our managed service model, and that is the model with the credit base, where we will push you into the subscription of the service. That we are super excited for, and that's gearing up for later this summer. So we're learning a ton, and we're getting great engagement across the platform. So it's very exciting. It is a model that is well understood in the marketplace. And I also just wanted to build on one quick thing that Paul was just saying earlier.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. One thing that I just wanted to build on, you know, our content partners are, you know, near and dear to us, and, you know, we are working very closely with them. And as Paul mentioned, you know, they know their customer better than we know their customer. As we go out and we are marketing, we are really going after those light and occasional users that may be interested in animation but not ready to join a subscription. So we are really doing a broad reach in terms of the customers that we are going after. You know, our intention with our content partners is to really build the overall pie of consumption and not really, it's not about cannibalizing anybody's service.
Two final questions for either of you. One, do you see a role for advertisers in the service in some fashion? And secondly, I understand that you'll be doing some special programming events to help viewers get more accustomed to the service and where they want to go. So explain more about those events, what you have in mind.
Sure. So on the first note, in terms of the advertising model, I think that that's something that we'll explore in the future, is not necessarily on the roadmap at this moment. We have a lot of things and a lot of features to build, as we were discussing, both managed services and how to build out that capability as well as others. As it relates to, like, you know, how are we highlighting the opportunities for subscribers? So one is clearly within the programming right now, we're trying to give our viewers a great understanding of the breadth of content that's available. What is unique to our service is your ability to search by brand and go into what would be almost like a walled garden where the content is presented in its completeness, which really lets you understand kind of what the service itself could be, and especially as we move into managed services opportunity. Right now, we're clearly, you know, as we were discussing earlier, pushing around key themes within that are natural to the calendar, whether that's the Juneteenth holiday that comes up tomorrow, whether that is, you know, the Pride LGBTQ month, whether that is also, like, you know, gearing up for July 4th and thinking about barbecues. As we can, you know, we're doing this all alongside our press and promotion and looking also in our marketing to showcase the content. Longer term, we're exploring a number of partnerships right now, whether that is within the telco OEMs or even, I would say, even consumer product space and otherwise, that can leverage the extensibility of this credit model into many different opportunities for us to drive, you know, sampling and uptake of the service over time.
Stroom will roll out in full later this summer on many smart TV sets and smart TV devices such as Apple TV, Android TV, services, TV sets and devices that have that operating system, Amazon Fire TV, Roku, and it is currently running in a trial on Chromecast. It's available throughout the country. If you want more details about the service, current and when it will launch, what you got to do is go online to www.stroom, that's stroom.com. It's S-T-R-U-U-M. Stroom, www.stroom, not strum, stroom.com. Lauren DeVilliers, Paul Pastor, thank you both very much for joining us. Good luck with this venture. We'd love to have you back on when the launch happens, and thank you again for spending some of your Friday with us.
Simon, thank you so much
for
the time. It was really great. It was great to talk with you.
Same here, Lauren.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Lauren DeVilliers and Paul Pastor joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow will be televised coming your way, but first some words from our fine sponsor at Audible.com. At long last, Amazon is going to be coming out later this year with its The Wheel of Time series. It's one of the most eagerly anticipated scripted series of the year, and it's based on a set of books by Robert Jordan. And one of those books, the original one called The Eye of the World, is now available to you as an audiobook if you want to try it out with a one-month trial to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from at any time, and you listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, etc. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audio book, 1 month trial, great health and wellness information while available, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And two big announcements. First, if you're already an Amazon Prime member, you get two audiobooks for your trial of one. Secondly, if you order the subscription to Audible during Prime Day or Prime Days next week, you will save more than half off on the first 4 months of your subscription. For all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift this Pride Month, Juneteenth, et cetera, for you or someone you love. When we come back to Los Angeles we go with our second dynamic duo, Matt Manfredi and Phil Hay, from the new Disney Plus series, The Mysterious Bandit Society, plus classic trivia question of the week and our takeaway of the week. All coming up as we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. This Sunday, spend some of your Father's Day with Post Time with the Greek. A lot of great action from baseball, NBA playoffs, and, of course, the U.S. Open Golf Tournament going on as we speak from Troy Grimes, California. It's all part of Post Time with the Greek this Sunday, Father's Day, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget Best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Friday of June 2021. Simon Albom with you live from New York. Another dynamic pair from L.A. coming your way in the half hour ahead, plus our classic trivia question of the week and our takeaway of the week. And all it takes for you involved in it, it's a phone call from you. So go ahead, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This coming week, Disney Plus is launching a show that's been a long time coming. It's The Mysterious Bandit Society, and it's about four orphans who decide to unite and save the world. Joining us live from Los Angeles in another Internet Radio exclusive, the creators and co-executive producers of this series, that's Phil, Matt Manfredi and Phil Hay. Matt and Phil, great to have you with us.
Thank you.
How are you?
Great to be here.
How are you?
Very fine, thank you. And Matt, this has been a long road to hoe. At one point, this was going to be a Hulu show. And as it turns out, you are going, despite the Disney Plus announcement that their shows are going to be moving, their original shows moving to Fridays, excuse me, to Wednesdays from Fridays, you will be on next Friday, June 25th.
Yes, we will be. Yeah, that June 25th is the day. We're so excited. It has been a long road, and when Hulu told us we were moving to Disney Plus, we were incredibly excited. It's such a huge platform, and it feels like a perfect home for a show like this, which I think is really has something for the entire family. It's something that everyone can kind of watch together and get something out of. And it doesn't talk down to kids. It's hopefully very sophisticated. So we're really pumped.
Phil, how did you and Matt come up with the concept?
Well, it's the show's based on a series of novels by Trent Lee Stewart, first of which is called The Mysterious Bandit Society. And these books are sort of like beloved by, like, now a few generations of kids who have, I guess generations are really short when it comes to middle school sort of time, but you know, something that just kids are really have loved, and kids who have then grown up and have held it very close to their hearts. And so we got the book sent to us by our producers, Jamie Tarsis and Karen Kehila Sherwood, and you kind of immediately fell in love with it. And even though it's quite different than a lot of the stuff we've done, we found so much kind of joy and humor and inspiration in it. And so we kind of immediately jumped at it and started this process, as you alluded to. It took a really long time to get it to screen, but it, in our opinion, it got to screen exactly as we had imagined it and hoped for. So we're happy with it.
Matt, the series of books was written by Trenton Lee Stewart. Did you and Phil talk to Trenton about how to adapt his series for television?
We've talked to Trenton numerous times, and he's a producer on the show. He has been incredibly gracious and understands that when you take something from book to screen, there are things are added, things can be changed, and he is just so gracious and basically just told us to go with it. And he's read scripts, he's seen cuts. And I think he's very excited, and I think fans of the book will be very excited, not only by what we've preserved from the book, but also some of the fun things we've added.
And for those who have not read the book or the book series, Benedict in the Mysterious Bandit Society is the sort of ringleader of this group of orphans he brings together to save the planet. And he's played by a marvelous actor, Emmy Award winner, Tony Hale. Some of you remember him from Veep, others from Arrested Development. How did you sort of look at Mr. Benedict in terms of he's a very quirky character, I understand. How did Tony sort of get into the role? How was he sort of considered for the role?
Well, first of all, what's interesting is, in the book, he kind of reads a little bit more as a grandfatherly character, you know, a little bit older. But when we were kind of thinking, because it's a dual role, he's playing both Mr. Benedict and his twin brother, Mr. Curtin, who are on different sides of the ideological and good evil spectrum. And so immediately when Tony's name came up, we all sort of said, that's really perfect. And for a combination of reasons, because Tony is both one of the funniest actors out there, period. He's so sophisticated. His comedy is so state of the art. But he's also such a warm, spiritual, generous human being, and that really captures the values of the show in a way, like that he is that kind of he personifies the values of the show. So the change was to consider him as a younger, sort of a more fatherly than grandfatherly figure. And both, you know, Benedict is sort of this very kind of diffuse genius, sort of like a person kind of who's like a little shaggy around the edges, and Curtin is this like super sharp, everything put in place, sort of both in his philosophy and in his, you know, appearance physically. So we needed someone who could really play both of those angles, and Tony just does in such a funny and amazing manner. To watch him, you know, day to day switch back and forth between the characters, his physicality changes, his voice changes, everything changes, and it's kind of it's just fascinating to watch.
Mm-hmm. The Mysterious Bandit Society comes next Friday, 1 week from today, to Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets and smart devices all over the place. And we've got the creators and executive producers with us, Matt Manfredi and Phil Hay, both with us from L.A. this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Time with you live from the other side, NY, where it is 83 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Matt and Phil, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Don't forget, next Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, our lead guest is K.P. Anderson, the executive producer and showrunner of the brand-new ABC series, When Nature Calls, hosted by award-winning actress, one of the best, Helen Mirren. Also, we hope to have one of the Tribeca Film Festival pilots that was shown this past week at this wonderful festival in person in NYC. The show is called In the Cards. It features two former co-stars of Twin Peaks, Sherilyn Fenn and Ray Wise. We hope to talk with the creator and the star, and it could be one of the same, as our second guest. That's all next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Matt, explain the storyline. It involves these four orphans and involves a crisis known as the Emergency.
Yes. So our story takes place in Stonetown, which is a fictional town in the United States, and in the Pacific Northwest, and there is a crisis across the country. It's a diffuse kind of feeling of anxiety that permeates everything. So it's called the Emergency, and it's making people anxious. It's this notion that everything is going wrong. Whether it's one day it's the market, one day it's the weather, one day it's something else. And so there's this low level of anxiety that is kind of plaguing the society, and Mr. Benedict realizes that this is coming from one man. It's a form of brainwashing coming from an island off the coast. And so he recruits four kids who are unique in their intellect and empathy and abilities to kind of and then their general kind of kindness. And and so he recruits the four of them to go on a mission to kind of find out the source of these messages that are causing the emergency and kind of save the day.
When you were casting the orphans, what were you – I'll ask you this. When you were casting the orphans, what were you looking for?
You know, the first and foremost, the thing that we were looking for were kids that were kind of old souls, you know, who had, you know, that sense of kind of lived-ness, a sense of realness that was not over kind of coached or overtrained. You know, I mean, a lot of times actors at this age are, you know, kind of put through the paces of a lot of technical training very quickly. And while our actors are extremely technically trained and proficient, they are still kind of I found their acting style to be just very compelling because it feels more real. It feels more, you know, it's really coming from the heart. And so that's what we were looking for, is that sense of old souls. But we also, I mean, it was a very extensive search and a worldwide search. And it is very hard to find exactly the right elements, you know, when you're casting kids especially. And so slowly as the group came together, you know, sometimes it was someone who just came in and we said, oh yes, that's, you know, that's Kate or that's Sticky. And sometimes it was someone who surprised us, like Constance Contreras, who's one of the funniest characters in the book and in the show. She's really funny. And we got this audition from Russia, from Marta Kessler. And we just immediately looked at it and saw this crazy, wonderful, intense Russian girl. And we were like, okay, now Constance is Russian, period. You know, like we could never think of it another way now. So, you know, so the casting is always, I think, a combination of looking for exactly what you're looking for, but also, like, sometimes someone shows up that just changes your way of thinking about things. And that kind of both of those things happened with us. And we're just very excited. We found such, you know, tremendous kids, both as actors and as people. Because, you know, shooting during the pandemic, which we did in Vancouver, they had to make a tremendous sacrifices. You know, they and their families had to move up there and really abide by a very strict regimen to keep everyone safe. And, you know, I don't think they had a lot of time to be, you know, out there having fun when they weren't working, but they really got close to one another and they really forged some really strong friendships with each other, which is I was really hoping would happen because it's really nice to see that.
Speaking of elements, Matt, it seems the more you get into your series, there's a little bit of Willy Wonka, there's a little bit of Harry Potter, there's a little bit of Man from U.N.C.L.E., there's a little bit of Wild Wild West, there's a little bit of all these different kind of elements in play. What, as you were producing the show and the episodes, what kind of ambiance were you going for that would be not only adventurous but family friendly?
You know, the watchword we always used was delightful. We wanted this to be, we wanted the world to be unique and timeless in its look and its feel. So that applied to, you know, the production design, the costumes. You know, everything. And, you know, what we loved about the book and what we wanted to kind of maintain in the series is its focus on the characters and its kind of quirky approach to them. And so we wanted to have room in this world to go down little side streets and explore backstories and tell little mini stories about the characters as they, or create little mysteries to solve along the way for these characters. There's so many corners of Stone Town and this world to explore along with a mystery, and so it was always with an eye toward keeping things light on its feet and delightful, while at the same time being able to have kind of some emotional depth because, you know, the kids are orphans and they're dealing with some real issues. At the same time, though, they have this empathy and compassion and humor that kind of drives everything.
Mm-hmm. This past Saturday, I was watching Turner Classic Movies, and they had a wonderful film called Ship of Fools. And Ship of Fools was nominated for a whole batch of Oscars, has a great all-star cast led by Oscar Werner, Vivien Leigh, and especially a man named Michael Dunn, one of the most wonderful actors you ever could see. He won an Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actor for it. A lot of people remember him for playing Dr. Lovelace on The Wild Wild West. And when I read that you have a villain called Dr. Curtin, Michael Dunn sort of came to mind. And I'm curious whether that's the kind of person you wanted for Dr. Curtin. Who plays him? And also, he's in a very interesting situation because he's the headmaster of the school where the orphans are.
Yeah, well, that's – Tony plays both parts. So Dr. Curtin turns out to be Mr. Benedict's twin brother. And it's not really a spoiler because we reveal it pretty quickly. But, yeah, so it's funny the idea of the history of characters named Doctor who turn out to be evil in some way. It's a rich tradition. And in this case, he's sort of like an educational doctor. Like he's sort of – the character is – he's kind of funny because he's very he speaks in a very sort of like contemporary educational best practices sort of language, but everything he does is sort of counter to those best practices. So he's got this very organized philosophy of, and I guess he considers himself a philosopher, you know, and so he sort of has this very complex philosophy that is in the end really just a justification for him to have power. But yeah, it's funny, the history of evil doctors is very, very rich indeed.
Yeah, especially on television. They always used to be called Dr. Blank. So, and that's we could do another segment on that, and maybe we will down the road.
Yeah, we could do an hour on that.
Hey, they are the creators and executive producers of The Mysterious Benedict Society. It premieres next Friday, 1 week from today, on Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets and smart devices all over the place. And we have Matt and Phil live from Los Angeles a few more minutes here on Tomorrow Be Televised. So if you have a question or comment for them, ring it in, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name. Coming up shortly, our classic trivia question of the week. We're looking for our second weekly winner in a row, and you could win the new Shark Week 2021 pocketbook if you have the correct answer and get it to us before the weekend is up. In addition to the diversity in front of the camera, you have a lot of diversity behind the camera. You're working with a lot of very interesting people. Plus, you're working with a couple of production companies also, Sonar Entertainment, which has had a great track record of TV series over the years, 20th Television, part of Disney, and a lot of very interesting executive producers, many of whom are people of color.
Well, I think in every way that we approach things, I think it's that is important to all of us, as you say, behind the camera and in front of the camera, to try to reflect the world, and it's to try to not only you know, it's funny, every show and every movie comes together in its own way, and I think that like many things in life, we have to be conscious of how we put things together, and I think, you know, sometimes people approach it without a consciousness of that. And I think much recently, you know, this sort of ethos has spread further into the industry of making conscious choices to include and making conscious choices to try to create opportunity in any way that you can, because it's not only the right thing to do, but it also is affords you so much more there's so much more talent available. There's so many more perspectives available. There's so many different experiences that then add together to make a, hopefully to make a great show.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're coming on Disney Plus at a time when they are doing very, very well with the Marvel shows like WandaVision and now Loki, which premiered early this week to rave reviews. And of course the Star Wars shows like The Mandalorian, which is off to the races, second season complete, third season underway, and lots of sequels and offshoots and spinoffs to come. What do you hope the Disney Plus viewers will get from your series, which, you know, given the track record of Disney Plus so far in terms of original series, is maybe one of the most unique shows, scripted shows, they've had on yet?
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, we were so excited when they told us that we were moving to Disney Plus. We think they, you know, one of the first things they said to us was we hope people watch this the same way they watch The Mandalorian, which in my house is everybody sits together and watches it and looks forward to it. And, you know, I think with the show itself, you know, at the most simple terms, you know, we're hoping to bring some joy into the world. It really is a show about the power of empathy and truth and kindness. And so if that's the kind of thing we can put out into the world and people can enjoy, you know, that's the best possible result.
Yeah, and I think Disney Plus has the thing that's so great is we also feel like we have a chance, and hopefully people respond to it, you know, and hope that audiences see what and embrace what we're trying to do, is that we have a chance to kind of be part of the kind of first wave of what it means to be on Disney Plus. And I think that, you know, the sort of shows, you know, that they've put out, I think, you know, shows like WandaVision are a great example of shows that have really so much to offer on so many different levels. They're funny, they're interesting, they are unique. They are, even within the Marvel sphere, WandaVision is so unique, and Loki is so unique.
They take
so
chances.
I think that chance to be sort of less categorizable, you know, and the fact that they embrace that about the show, that they're not trying to just say, oh, well, this is a kid's show. Because never when making it or when they kind of started marketing it, have we ever talked about it as that. It's a show that kids, I hope, love, but it's really a show for everybody. And so Disney Plus offers such a great, you know, opportunity to be kind of, in our biggest hopes, we hope to be one of the shows that really kind of defines what that streamer has to offer, you know.
A series that has gone through many, many hoops, including filming in the face of the coronavirus pandemic up in Vancouver, Canada, which, by the way, has become one of the great television production centers in all the world, finally comes to Disney Plus 1 week from today, The Mysterious Bandic Society. Remember, it's available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And for more details about the service online, go to Disney Plus, plus in full word, DisneyPlus.com. That's DisneyPlus.com, The Mysterious Bandic Society, with Tony Hale, Emmy Award winner from Veep and Arrested Development, so much more good stuff, heading the cast. And again, it premieres 1 week from today, June 25th, here on Disney Plus. Matt Manfredi, Phil Hay, creator, executive producers of the series, thank you very much for joining us. All the very best making this show go. Hopefully next Friday is the beginning of a great long run.
Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. It was so much fun to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Same here, Matt and Phil. Take
care.
I'm
going to go watch episodes of Wild Wild West.
Got it. Take care.
Take care.
All right, see ya.
Matt Manfredi and Phil Hay joining us live from Los Angeles. Time now for our classic trivia question of the week. We first posed the question on Monday's program, first of our three episodes this week, and we're still waiting for our second weekly winner in a row. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win the new, brand new Shark Week 2021 pocketbook. It's gorgeous, makes a great gift for Father's Day, for Juneteenth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Here is the question. Name the actor who played the police commander, the commanding officer on Homicide, Life on the Street. Who played the police station commander on Homicide, Life on the Street? The acclaimed 1990s NBC drama. A lot of great people were in that cast, including Ned Beatty, the Deliverance and Network co-star, Oscar nominee for his role on Network, that passed away last weekend at the age of 83. Once again, the question, who played the police commander on Homicide, Life on the Street? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and address. First with the correct answer, you win. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, play in. Do so as soon as possible, and all the very best. Now time, before we leave you today and this week, for our takeaway of the week, our regular Friday feature that showcases something that happened this week that we think will set the stage for what you could be doing in the world of television in the very near and maybe very far future. That's why we call it the takeaway of the week. And the takeaway this week, I think, is quite simple. Blockchain, cryptocurrency, they are now legitimate ways to launch, finance, market, promote, distribute new television programming and new television services. And it was not just one, but two developments that we showcased on this program that I think made it work. On Wednesday, we led the show with Satir, S-A-T-O-R. That's the new platform where, as I call it, frequent flyer television. The more TV you watch, the more interactive you are with the programming, the more rewards you earn, and the more rewards you can then redeem. And it's got great venture capital behind it. And in addition, the day before we had them on the program, the founders of this service on the program, we talked about Fox came out with the big news that they are setting up a $100 million content creator fund, and that's part of a new blockchain labs project they're doing with their subsidiary in animation, Benobox Entertainment. And again, they're going to be using blockchain, cryptocurrency, non-fungible tokens to not only get new shows on the air, but also market merchandise for sale that will help have these programs be as successful as they can be. So you put the two developments together, and there's no question anymore that unlike 3 years ago, where a lot of people felt that the idea of cryptocurrency and blockchain was maybe a fly-by-night, perhaps a scanning operation, no longer. When you have a venture like Satter coming in, when you have a venture like Starport that we showcased on our program exclusively 2 months ago, and when you have Fox with the big development, it really says this is now legit. This is going to become a major way that new shows will get to you through blockchain and cryptocurrency, along with equity crowdfunding as well. So keep your eye on Satter. Keep your eye on Fox and what they're doing with this blockchain labs project, and keep your eye on Starport. And I have a hunch there will be more coming up not too far down the road. By the way, if you missed our episode with the co-founders of Satter, check it out on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and also check out their website, SATOR, Satter.io. That's Satter.io. A lot of very interesting material, including a white paper about how this project is going to work. It's going to be a beta test later this summer. It's also going to be highlighted by NAPI, the TV programming trade organization, at their upcoming events. Like I said, this is, as the song used to say, too legit to quit. And one more thing before we go very quickly, I want to say a big shout-out to Procter & Gamble for a wonderful event that I went to yesterday afternoon as part of the Becca Film Festival. Procter & Gamble has got a very interesting new project called Widen the Screen, and this is a big thing to watch out for. They want to get back into the TV production business and do it by showcasing people of color as series creators and producers, African-Americans to start, and then later on, not too far later on, Latinos, Asian-Americans, indigenous people, Muslims, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to keep an eye on this project. I had a chance to meet some of the P&G people involved yesterday at Tribeca in Lower Manhattan. And as soon as we get the word about the first project they're doing that will be on a television network or service, we'll hopefully have the P&G on people with them, with us, and also the creator as well. So stay tuned. More to come on that. Don't forget, Monday on Tomorrow We Televise, K.P. Anderson from the new ABC series When Nature Calls, hosted by Helen Mirren, and hopefully the people behind the Tribeca TV pilot, In the Cars. Came in late on today's program. Want to catch up an episode you missed? Go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast this weekend, available on iTunes, Apple TV, various podcast sites as well, including the iRadio Podcast Network. What do you think about our show today? What do you think about Stroom and the Mysterious Bandit Society? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. We do respond to your thoughts within 24 hours because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other services program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Andy Cho is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Steinberg, head of content, the co-founders of Enterprise, Alan Levy, and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two, don't forget, go to audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Mark Juneteenth, Mark Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Dad, and my brother, Gary, a great father in his own right. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music Verbal, and the iRadio Podcast Network. And let's lick this pandemic now and forever. It is a done deal. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.